Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. That all things are possible. Let's just go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do know things, all things are possible when you are here, Father. Lord, we just ask you and invite you, Father, into this house this morning, Father, and not that it's the building, the church, Father, but it is us, Father, that have met ourselves together, Father, joined ourselves and put our licks of fire together for you this morning. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd move me out of the way, Father, this morning, that you may truly have preeminence in this service, and that your words would become alive to us as our heart's desire. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. This morning, I want to talk about the Comforter. And I had fully intended on moving on with the Church Age series, but when we met Wednesday for prayer for Sister Diane by reading and praying for over an hour, this come on my heart. I feel that we all need a comforter, right? Whenever trials come upon us, decisions have to be made, who do you look to? Amen. In John 14, 16 through 18, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. I want to draw attention to that word forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. It doesn't understand him, neither knoweth him. But if you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Brother Branham says here, now we've been talking about the offices and the manifestations of the one true God and beholding his glory in a scriptural study. But he is not to be known intellectually. He is known spiritually by spiritual revelation. This same one who was known as Jesus after the flesh went back to the pillar of fire. Amen. But he promised he would come again and dwell amongst his people by the Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, that pillar of fire came down and it separated itself in tongues of fire upon each one of them. Not just a singular person. What was God doing? He was separating himself into the church, giving all those men and women a part of himself. He divided himself amongst his church, just as he said he would, John 14, 16 through 23. Now we're going to read this over again, but it's in here, so I'm going to leave it. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, it doesn't understand him, neither knoweth him. If you don't understand him, can you know him? You can't. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I didn't highlight the word in, but we're going to keep pressing on that two-letter word. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, let a little while, and the world seeth me no more. They didn't see the physical body that Jesus was in while he was here on earth. But ye see me, you understand me, because I live. Ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, what are his commandments? his word, right? The doke says, Brother Brian says, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, amen, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him for keeping his words, right? Keeping his commandments. It's not a do. It's not a do and a do and a do. Okay. And he and we, I want to draw attention to the letter we, will come unto him and make our abode with him. He said that he would pray the Father who would send another comforter who was with them. Okay. When he was here on earth, the disciples seen him in a physical form already, but not in them. The Holy Ghost wasn't sent yet. Now, did the prophets of old, did Jesus have what you would call the Holy Ghost? Did they have the pillar of fire? Yes, they did. But this specific comforter that Jesus was to send back via the Father was not in them yet. That was Christ. Then in verse 23, speaking of himself and the Father, he said, we will come. Amen. We will come. There it is. The Spirit is coming, the same Spirit of God that manifested as the Father and as the Son, and will yet manifest in many, not just one. One God, though. We're not heathens. We don't worship more than one God. Amen. That was one of the commandments, if you remember. Who is Spirit? That's why no man can ever come along and say the holy man is a pope, or the holy man is a bishop or a priest. The holy man is Christ, the Holy Spirit, where? In us. How dare the hierarchy declare that the laity has no word to say? How dare the hierarchy of the system that you're in say that the laity, the church member, has no word to say? Each one has something to say. Each has a work. Have I been telling you that? I didn't know this quote was in there. I didn't look for it. It just come up. But that's God confirming his word. Each has a work. Each has a ministry. The Holy Ghost came at Pentecost and separated himself on each that it might be fulfilled. Wherefore Christ said, at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. John 14:20. The great I am, the Almighty God, has come as a spirit to fulfill his true church. He has a right to move anywhere he wants to, and upon anybody he wants to. We don't make any holy men, but do you see that happening in our day? Amongst us? But the whole true congregation of the Lord is holy because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now he qualifies here. It is he, the Holy Spirit, that is holy, not the congregation in itself. Amen. As Jesus was here on earth, he said, I can do nothing except the Father shows me to do it. Amen. He, God, does the work, even through his Son. And he, God, is the only one that can do a work via us. And only if he's in us. Amen. I love that quote. That's from the Revelation of Jesus Christ from the Church Age book. But he that is in you is Christ. That's why if you have a chance, you should listen to it maybe even once a year or more. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And Brother Brian did, how, I don't know how many sermons on it. 500?
225.
200, yeah. There you go. Why is that so important to us? But it's he that is in you is Christ. And if Christ is in you, the works of Christ you'll do. If Christ lives in you. He said so in St. John 14:12. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he, remember that's God, do also. We're just here. We're just a vessel that God can use. God is the one that does the work. Amen. Amen. Where'd I leave off? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. If you was in Christ, or if Christ lived in you, then Christ is the Word. Is that right? Yeah. And the Word come to the prophecy, and if you, Christ, lived in you, the works of Christ would be done through you. The life of Christ would be lived through you. The works he did, the life he lived, and everything, it would live in you, just like if Shakespeare was in you, or if Beethoven, or whatever lives in you, if his life, but if you're still living your own life, then your own works you'll do.
Yep.
See? You can't live for yourself and for Christ at the same time. Unless you're, unless what you are living for yourself is in line with his word, then you know it's producing the right seed, right? But if you're living the life of Christ, if Christ is in you, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. If your doubts and your frustrations about God's promise to is in you, if you have doubts and frustrations about the promises God has given to you, then Christ isn't in there. We don't doubt his word. What it says we know will come to pass. See, you're only worked up. But if the life, if Christ is living in you, his word, he will recognize and his promise he'll do.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't have to work ourselves up for God to keep his promises. That's what Brother Branham's saying. He'll do it. See, he'll do it. And when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and it shall be given you. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass, you can have whatever you say. It's the same faith that Brother Branham was sent here to with his ministry, was to turn our hearts back to the fathers. Like Abraham. God came to Abraham and told him at 90 years old or whatever he was, that he was going to have a son. Think about that. Even in today's medicine, in today's terms, can you imagine that? And then him professing it, I'm going to have a son.
Amen.
You're out of your mind, is what the majority of people would say. But that pertains to any promise that God has revealed to you. You can have what you say. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. But people say, he's God. He was. But he only did what the Father showed him to do. We are part of God, and we only do what the Word shows us to do. Amen? That doeth the Son likewise. So if the Son does what his Father says, then what is the bride to do? What the Father says. And see, when the Father showed him what to do, walked out there without a failure of anything, and said, let it be. And it was. And that same Christ lives in you. It lives in us. Then his works we will do, because Christ is the Word. And the promise of his word brings healing to you. Do you believe that? Sure. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. As I pray, ask a while ago there in Matthew 24, see our Matthew 28, 20. He said, I will come to you, be in you. I, the personal, it's a person, Christ, in the form of the Holy Ghost, will come and live in you. Could anyone have what Jesus sent back prior to him being slain on the cross and the bloodshed? No. God would have killed you instantly if you touched him. But through the blood, we can touch God the same as his son did. I, personal pronoun, Christ, in the form of the Holy Ghost, will come and live in you. Then you won't be yourself no more. It'll be in you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See? Greater is he that is in you than the sickness that you are fighting right now. See, Hebrews 13:8 says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He that is in Noah was greater than the judgments of water. And he that is in you is greater than the judgments of fire. See, he that is in you is greater because he paid the judgment and conquered the judgment for you. See, there is no fear about it. See, you're in there. Yes, greater is he that was in Noah than he that was in the judgments of the water that destroyed the world which believed not. Because Noah believed, and greater was he in him. Noah was great because God was in him. That believed him, that spoke to him, that he was in the world, that Noah escaped all the judgment because of the word of God was greater than that. And he lifted up above the judgment, greater. He could hang on that for a while, see? Amen. That's from he that is in you, 63. Brother Bram says here, when he was here on earth, I say he cared for his people so much till he healed their sick, comforted their hearts, told them a place where he would go and prepare for them and would come again and receive them unto himself. He cared for them. He cared so much that he sent himself back. He divided himself up. And notice he cared so much until he knowed he must leave in order to bring this great thing to us. We would have perished if he wouldn't have sent himself back. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit and he shall continue my care for you until he returns. There's no one cares like Jesus. Knowing that his body, would you deny your body food and water? You wouldn't, right? You would perish. The same way, Jesus knew he had to send that back or we would perish. As a high priest in a mediatorial work that he's doing now, that body must be in the presence of God at all times. As soon as he leaves that seat, mercy is over. For intercession, that God cannot see the sinner's sin. He sees only the blood of his own son. And knowing that, he sent back the Holy Spirit to continue to comfort his people. Amen. Does he care? Certainly he cares. Now, he was to continue the care for his people. His people here on earth, in the same manner that he cared for them when he was here in person. Because he said in St. John, the 15th chapter, if you want to make, I got notes laying here, these scriptures where I'm referring, St. John 15, 26. I see many of you writing down the scriptures now, so I may refer to this, if you don't know it many times, to the scripture. I write the scriptures down, then I know what I'm speaking of from here, because it'll always in the word of the Lord. See, He said, when the Holy Spirit has come, who the Father would send in his name, he would testify of him. In other words, he, the Holy Spirit, would do the same thing that he did. The Holy Spirit working through a tabernacle that he had sanctified would do the same thing that he did. Now, what that ought to do for us. Then we know that right among us today, we have the same comforting Lord Jesus in the form of the Holy Ghost, another office that God himself is working in. Amen. We like that quote from the Church Age book. We have a ministry. We have something to say. He doesn't want to hear anything except for his word. I gave you that promise. Speak it and go forward. And that's from He Cares, Do You Care? In 63. Now, one day they seen him go to Calvary. They heard him say, a little while and the world seeth me no more. Oh, I'm the Son of Man, must go up to Jerusalem and be put into the hands of sinful men to crucify and to die. How could they stand it? Can you imagine actually being able to see the person of God in a human form, born without sin? Their hearts were broken, the disciples and those that followed him. They were depressed. They was all in gloom. How could they ever give him up? I mean, look at Peter. He was about ready to slay some people when the soldiers come and tried to take him away. Because the word that the prophets was spoken, the word that the sages and the great holy men back to the end, the beginning of the world, had spoke of that word. And here it was among them. And they were going to do anything they could to protect it. But then look what a promise he made. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it knoweth him not. It seeth him not, neither does it know him, knows him. But you know him, but you know him. You know him because he is with you, and he shall be in you. There it is. And how long is he going to abide? Forever. Then what is the word of God? What is our comfort today? Is it when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of the living God living in us? In that, the word of the living God, we stand. That word is made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that same word that was made flesh and dwelt among us has become our flesh. We don't need that over there in the millennium, brother, sister. We don't need the Holy Ghost there. We are part of it, so that's where we're going. But you have people say, well, I'll get that figured out over there. Mm-mm. It's for here. He has become our flesh. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit here in this day. He is with you now, but he shall be in you. Now, that same word that the prophet spoke, that same word that was made flesh, that same word dwells in the church. Therefore, if we don't compromise with the word, we stay right with it. If we don't compromise with it, the same word living in you will produce the same thing that it did when it was made flesh, because your flesh holds it.
Amen.
Does that mean that we don't make a mistake while we're here? No, that's not what I'm saying. But when it comes to that time where the Holy Spirit wants to speak a word to someone or a church or whatever it is, are you willing? Are you available? Are you yielded to the Holy Ghost that's in you that you can actually say and do those things? And that's from the Comforter in 61. Now watch. Jesus said, watch how he stated it. The works that I do. He's doing them right now. The works that I am doing now, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, these works shall you do also. You'll do these if you believe in me. You'll do these works. And then a greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. Amen. A little while, and the world won't see me no more. Yet ye shall see me, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. I will not leave you comfortless, he says. I'll pray the Father, he'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, yet you can receive him. Now notice the greater works. This is a really good quote. I'm sure Brother Brian's already used it. Was to have the power in the church. The greater works is to have the Holy Ghost in the church. Not only to heal the sick by prayer and cast out devils by prayer, that's wonderful, but to impart eternal life to the believers. So when I tell you that the words that you speak are important and they shouldn't be wielded unless they come from God's word, you are not imparting eternal life. You are wielding death. But if you want to impart eternal life, you speak from the word. Yeah. Our tongues get us in trouble. The Holy Ghost was coming and given into the hands of the church to impart life. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. This is the little kid song for you guys. The light, the bushel, by covering it. If you cover it, can you impart life or light to the world? You can. It's to be shown. Everybody. And if enough lights as a body, as the church, hold their lights up, it's what the world sees. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It stooped, degraded men and women, and lifted them to a place to be sons and daughters of God. He changed our nature to heal the sick and to impart eternal life by giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers. Men who were once unbelievers be made believers and impart spiritual eternal life. How much greater is it to say to the sick woman that's laying down here, I can pray the prayer of faith and she will be healed? That's a great thing. That's what he was doing then. But said, greater than this shall you do. I'm going to give you power not only to raise him up for a while, but give him eternal life, which will be eternal forever. Go back to the scripture. Draw attention to that word, forever. Poor, blind, wretched people. How do you miss that? Do you want to see the greaters? Do you want to see the greater works? The thing is, that's the greatest thing could ever happen, was to impart eternal life to people. Yep. What is eternal life, Brother Branham asked? The life that he lived. The life that was in him, God. It's the only thing eternal. You guys know that. It was in him. Now it's in us by a smaller measure. But the same chemicals, the same makeup as Brother Brian has taught. The life was in him. Impart that to others. Can a man do that? Can a human do that? A son of God can. Yep. Only a son of God can. that day on Calvary from 1960. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What does the gospel, not word only, not word only, but through power and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost, making the word of God manifest. It's our job to reveal God to this generation. That is the gospel. And I've said this before, and now Brother Branham says it. You can't do that unless the Holy Ghost is in you. Now, you can't do it. Now, Jesus knowed that he had to live in his church. Jesus, even as great as he was in the fullness of God, walked the earth. Could he himself go from end to end of the earth and tell everyone about God? No. He was human just like us. But he can through his church. Therefore, he knowed we'd have intellectual schools. And you'll never get this by an intellectual school. They'll be against it. Does that sound familiar? Because all they know is some smart man's learning, some creed or denomination they want to live. They want to live by that creed or that denomination. So they'll set up in that and make you a member of that body. And brother, quote some things to you out of a creed that would seem like this was just perfect. The great holy church, the mother, talking about the Catholics, it stood a many a beat, and it stood a many a pound. So has the devil. He's been kicked out of everywhere there is, nearly. And he's still going just the same. Yes, sir. Oh, they'll try to quote these. So Jesus knowed that there would be a great intellectual move, just like there was in his days. You had the scribes and the Pharisees coming up into the synagogue, and they had the words of Moses. Listen to this. They had the words of Moses. So Jesus knew that they would be great intellectual move just like it was in his days. And what were they teaching? What were the Pharisees and the Sadducees teaching? They were teaching washing of pots and what you can eat and what you can't and pans and wearing of clothes. Deeds. Something that you can do. And turned around collars and everything as they did. All different things that they would do. He knowed that they would do that. Oh, he said, now just a minute. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come again to be with you. Therefore, he said, the works that I do, you'll do also. The purpose of sending the Holy Ghost was for God to continue through a bunch of people, not just one man. To continually manifest God to the world. That's exactly. Not by a creed. Not by a denomination. You can only do this. And you can only do that. You got to do this and you can't do that. Rules and dogmas. Things that man can create to control the congregation and the people. It's a do and not to do and not to do works, human works. He wasn't talking about the human works. He was talking about the spiritual works of imparting eternal life to others. Not by a creed, not by a denomination, but by the power of his resurrection, by making his word real. By taking his promise and standing on the side of the minority and believing God and watch the black skies move back and the power of God move in and take over. Amen. That's what he wants. That's what the Holy Ghost was sent for. That's what purpose he sent it for. We know what it is now, and that's why he sent it. And that's what the Holy Ghost was given for in 59. But God knows what he's doing as long as he's leading. You see, you must always go by the Spirit. And the Spirit will always agree with the Word. So when you have someone come and say, well, the days of the apostles, the prophets, the preachers is over, does that line up with his Word? Doesn't agree. Now, if the Spirit's leading you contrary to the Word, then it's not the Spirit of God. Now, if the Holy Spirit is leading you, it'll say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. If it's a religious spirit or some other type of spirit that isn't the Spirit of God, it'll say it was for a day gone by. Not now. That was for the apostles. In Brother Branham's day, they didn't believe in miracles. Days of miracles are past. That was for the prophets. And what do they say today? There are no teachers. There are no preachers. That was for a day gone by. You show me where God took it out, and I'll believe that. How could you make that act right? Because it said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I'm so glad to have the Holy Spirit. Aren't you? When you hear something that's like, wow, that's not even in the Bible. That ain't even what Brother Branham said. But in their minds, and the spirit that's on them, they make up something and they believe it. A lie. See, God seeing that beforehand, Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. He's not going to leave us here to not be able to be led, right? But I'll pray the Father, he'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he will abide with you forever. And when he comes, he will testify of me and will show you things to come, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Oh, how happy we are to see that the Spirit of truth bearing record with his Word, that it is the Spirit of truth. Then sons and daughters follow it. It'll stay right in the lids of the Bible and confirm every promise that God made. And that's looking to the unseen in 59. Excuse me. You'll never understand. There's no way for us to understand how that great sacrifice that he did came down and reconciled us back to God. It isn't to be understood. It's to be believed. Then he went back and said, now I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come again and be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And here we are today, living in the end time with the same Jesus, the same things, the same signs, the same wonders, the same salvation, the same Spirit doing the same things, the same gospel, the same Word, the same illustrations, the same manifestation, everything. It behooves us not to neglect this great salvation, for we'll have to give account someday with what we do with the Son of God. You've been offered a gift. Like Brother Branham uses the dime in his time for the loaf of bread. God gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost, but if you keep it covered up and don't let nobody see it, how do they know that you have part of God? But if you take the dime and you cash it, you go and you grab the Holy Ghost, you grab the loaf of bread, and you take it back, what does it do for you? Bread, life. It creates life, right? The life is in you. But if you don't do nothing with the gift that God gave you, the Holy Ghost, and you don't consume it so that your body can express the life that he gave you. Amen? The story is this. Think of it as you measure your own corruptible life in his presence. Jesus became you that you, through his grace, might become him. You who were going to hell, he took your place that you might be set in heaven with him at his place. You who were a son of the devil by nature, we are all born in sin and iniquity. He took that nature, or the sin of your nature, that you might become a son of God, and set it in heavenlies with him. That's the story. He did not leave us without witness. And he said, a little while and the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me, for I as a personal pronoun, will be with you and even in you to the end of the world. And all the things that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you the Holy Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, was to bear witness of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if that isn't true, then God promised something that he wasn't able to do. Now, we know that's not true. But in this great... it's an unusual word. Infidelic, skeptical age that we're living in. I'm so happy that I can challenge the world to the fact that in the midst of all kinds of heathen gods and everything else and idols and worldly living, there is a real resurrected living Jesus Christ who is just as real tonight as he was when he walked on Galilee. He hasn't failed. He will not fail. And this great Jesus is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost. And he will declare himself to be alive. He is declaring himself to be alive. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. He's an infinite God who cannot fail. The Queen of the South in 57. In John 16, 6 through 8, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Now he's talking to the disciples. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you and I that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Amen. God didn't leave us comfortless. He knew that it would be all tangled up in our time and in the days to come through teachers and so forth, so-called teachers, should I say, of the word, how they would mix it up. But he sent a direct messenger with it. He sent a message to us. Who was the messenger? The Holy Spirit, which is the vindication of his resurrection. If there is no Holy Spirit to vindicate it, then I couldn't believe the resurrection. I wouldn't have nothing but theology, or I wouldn't have nothing but a mental conception. But today, we don't have to have a mental conception. Is all right. Theology is all right. But we have a direct witness. The Holy Spirit is a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So misunderstood by people today in our day, so misunderstood, but it's the hope Paul talked about that. When we have the last commission there, when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, stop here for a second. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you come up to somebody or say, I'm saved, but I don't need the baptism. What? I tell you again, I'm saved, but I don't need water. I just believe it. I'll believe that I went into the water and I was baptized. Same thing with the Holy Ghost today. Amen? I just believe what the prophet said, but I don't gotta apply it to my life. I don't actually have to get into the water. I just believe it. Do you think the sinner out there thinks that's cute? Does he believe that while you're sitting on the bar stool drinking your beer? Yeah, I'm saved. Yep, I believe it. Sitting there. Do you think they buy that? Do you think they buy your attitude against one another? I'm a believer. I'm here to tell you I believe. But I'll talk about anybody I want. I'll gossip. I'll backstab. I'll sit on the bar stool on Friday night. And he that believeth shall be, he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out evil spirits. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they take up serpents and deadly things, it will not harm them. There's a fear among the people today watching too much YouTube. Oh, I worry about this and I worry about that. Okay, it's okay to know and to be knowledgeable. But anytime you let that consume your life and you have no faith in God and His Word, I doubt you believe what you say. It will not harm them, the Bible says. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I say to you, have you asked God? Have you asked the elders of your church to come and to lay hands on you when you're sick? No, I just believe. That's okay. The centurion, that was fine. But have you done everything God has asked you to do? It says here they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The very things that I do shall you do also, even greater than this, for I go unto my Father. I'll just tell you, it grieves the Holy Spirit when you don't ask Him for His Word and not to do it. It does. It grieves the Holy Spirit. This proof of His resurrection from 55. And I am trusting, and I know that in India this time will be the greatest meeting that the Lord has ever let me minister all my life for this time. I have this vision wrote out here, I believe, which most of the people has it wrote in their own Bibles, but you can see whether it will be that way or not after it's over. And if it's not that way, then you can say, I didn't speak to the Lord. Or He didn't speak to me, rather. But if it does, then you remember that He talked to me. And I'm so happy tonight to know that Jesus has not forsaken the people in this great day that we're living under this great strain. It is a strain that we're under today. Yet the Lord has not left us. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. which is the Holy Spirit, and he will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which is what? Christ. Who the world cannot receive. They cannot receive Christ. You see today that the majority of the people that came out under Brother Branham's ministry, like they did in Moses' time, we believe the prophet. And they marched right on out there. And he said he would abide with you forever. But they come up to the Kadesh Barnea, that door where you have to go behind the veil. And they refuse. That was for Brother Branham only. One man. Not for us. They leave Christ on the outside. He's just over there on the other side of the door knocking. Will you open it? I'm very thankful that this Spirit of truth, Christ, was to be with us to the end. And that Spirit of truth is none other but the Lord Jesus himself in spiritual form, the Holy Ghost. For he said, a little while and the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. And that means tonight, and wherever we are, we have the comforting words of knowing that Jesus will be with us. Too many of you people here who go to the little churches, no matter how small the church is, Jesus said, even if two or three were gathered together in his name, he'd be with them. Yes. What a comforting words it is to know, no matter how small our little congregation is, yet the Lord Jesus is with us. And we're happy for that. And that's from To See Jesus in 54. And once again, I just want to bring your remembrance to the definition for the word in. It's a small but significant word in the Bible and often used to denote our position, our relationship, and our condition. What condition are we in? Are we in a good condition? Do we fuss, fight, war, stew? What is our relationship with the body, which is Christ? You say, well, it don't matter. I can say what I want. What is our position in Christ? Do we know our position in Christ? Do we know our position as a husband? Do we know our position as a wife, as a daughter, as a son? We have a work to do. Remember. Now, the Bible is a different book from all other books, sacred books. I wouldn't even call them sacred, but Brother Brown did. The Bible is a different book. It is a book of prophecy, foretelling future events. And it's also the revelation of Jesus Christ, most importantly to us, amen? Our love letter. All the way from Genesis to Revelations brings him out in his fullness, what he was and he is. In the whole complete book, Revelations 1:1-3 said that the book is a book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, all other books, sacred books, is only a code of ethics and a code of morals or a code of theology. You see how Satan has gotten in to or tried to get into our book? You know, where he talks about certain things. And then you have a whole group of people that take one code or one idea of how you should dress or abstain from meat. Go on and on and on. You know where I'm going. Morals and ethics. How many ever read the Quran or the Mohammedan Bible and the book of the Buddhists and so forth? It's just a code of ethics. What people should live, how they should live. But it doesn't prophesy. It doesn't say anything about these things or about any special gifts being given to anybody. It's all the person that wrote it, right? They want glory to themselves. The Mohammedan and all those people, you realize and you look, Brother Branham never did that. He always pointed to Christ. That's a true son of God. That's our example in our day. But these guys that wrote these books, they want glory to themselves. They wanted control. They wanted power. Well, what does that sound like? Satan, right? And it was, and it is. It's just a code of ethics, what people should live by and how they should live, but it doesn't prophesy. It doesn't say anything about these things or anything about special gifts given to anybody. Anything to take place, just like joining a lodge or something. Therefore, when churches come to the place that they make their church just a lodge to join, then they're plumb off the Word of God. Amen. Here's our rules, brother. When you walk in our doors, if you haven't completed these tasks, you're no longer welcome here. Or to get in, you have to be moral. You have to do these things to earn your way into our good graces. They're plumb off the Word of God. They have no desire to put that candle out there and try to save a soul. All they care about is this group, so-called group. For the Bible is a living, foretold witness of Jesus Christ. And as the earth has grown into its fullness, and you say, where do you get all that from? Those statements that you just made. Who did Jesus go to? Jesus went to the woman at the well, ill-famed, had five husbands. We would kick her out the door and lock it in today's society, in our holy group. That's not Christ. And the day grows into its fullness. The Bible was manifested in the fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he was the Word of God revealed, the whole complete book of redemption. The Bible is God's Word, forthtelling the future events. Its believers is commanded by its author to read and believe every word. Not just part of it. One word. To disbelieve it, you might as well quit trying until you believe that word. That's why that saying, set it on the shelf. If it's in a spiritual context about God's word, well, I just put that on the shelf. I don't really think I agree with that. You know, we'll deal with it later. But you can go no further in God until you go back and you find that place for that word. God doesn't waste his time, his breath, his energy, his effort to write everything down and then to have everything in our day recorded just to be words. Every word is absolutely a part of Almighty God. God made manifest would into his word to show forth who he is. Can you see who he is in our day? We are commanded as believers to believe every word of it. I do. And it's wrote by the author of God himself. There is nobody can add anything to it or take anything from it. If you would, it would be a freak body of God, a dismembered body of God. You have people running around, well, we are in the eye age. We only have the eyes. Eyeballs floating around looking. We don't like the hand, we don't like the feet, and we don't like the arm. A dismembered body. It would maybe have like six fingers on one hand and three arms and something added to take something away from it and to be one arm short, one finger short. It's the complete body of Jesus Christ. And in Christ, being the male, the groom, the bride is represented in him also. And these two are one. I am one with Christ. You should say that. I am one with Christ. And these two are one. And at that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. What a complete picture. A body with working fingers, a total of 10. Two arms, two legs, two eyes. Not just the eyes. Oh, bless God, I'm the neck. I'll turn your head whichever way I want. That ain't right. And the true believers in this word who accept it the way, believe it, and with patience wait for its prophesied promises, every one of them to be manifest in its age.
Yes.
Don't get ahead of God. He promised it. It will happen. We don't know how, but we will when we see it happening. That's the thing. You will recognize it. You will recognize God's promise and his healing or whichever it is that you're looking for. You'll recognize it when it's taking place. But don't get ahead of God and try to say, well, it's going to be this way, it's going to be that way. You will get it mixed up. Every believer has watched for it. Every believer that's been on the toes watching. Have you been on your toes watching, or is it relaxed, lazy Laodicea? Is the one that's being revealed to. Amen? The ones that's on their toes, that's looking and listening. Now look, in the days of the coming of the Lord Jesus, why didn't those people recognize John when the Bible plainly said by Isaiah, there'll be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Their last prophet they had, which was Malachi 3, said, behold, I will send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. Why didn't they see it? Because it was looking upon something that had been done, basing their thoughts upon some message that had went forth beforehand, and failed to see the present manifestation of God in the day that we're living.
Amen.
Brother Branham's message has gone forth, right? The angel told him that your message would forerun the second coming, not him. Is it forerunning his second coming? Do you see God presently manifested in the body of Christ in the day that we're living? And Christians everywhere, that's exactly where the world stands tonight. Without contradiction, that's the truth. Christians everywhere are trying to look back to some code of ethics that Mr. Luther wrote, or Mr. Wesley, or Skakey, or Finney, or Knox, Calvin, whichever. None of us can speak evil of it. We need those steps to get where we are, as I talked about last Sunday. But that was in a day past. The Pharisees looked back to see what Moses said. And they said, we have Moses. We don't know whence thou comest. We have Brother Branham's message. We have the Bible, even. We don't know where the Holy Ghost fits into this. He isn't to lead us. We believe we were baptized, but we never got into the water. But remember, when Moses here, they didn't know whence he cometh. See, now, no wonder Jesus said to them, you garnish the tombs of the prophets, and you are the one that put them in there. After their message is gone, a message goes out through the people see it. The people seen it, right? They made fun of it. The world does. And then after the messenger is finished and the message is done, then they build a denomination upon the message.
Yeah.
We have to protect this. like Peter was trying to do to Jesus. We have to protect that body. We can't let you leave. What are we going to do? They build a denomination upon the message. And there they die. Right there. And they never can come back to life again. And that's from events made clearer by prophecy in 65. But I'm not him. But he is standing among you. And his shoes I'm not worthy to loose, John the Baptist said. When he comes and makes himself known. And today, he is standing amongst us in the person of the Holy Ghost, manifesting himself more and more. Amen. If you're in his word, you see things you've never seen before, and like you've read and you've heard that message probably 500 times. That's the Holy Ghost in you revealing himself. I love those light bulb moments. In the person of the Holy Ghost, manifesting himself more and more, coming into his church. You and I, making himself known. He said, you will know me, right? How? Because the Holy Ghost is in you, confirming his word. Because him and the bride and the groom will be the same, not different in any way. God can't accept anything different. Making himself known to you. And one day you'll see that the one that you're feeling in your heart and see his identification will become personalized before you. Then you and he are one. Hallelujah. You've been united by the word, and the word was in the beginning. We'll go back to the beginning, which is God. And that day you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. God's body's not complete without us, brother or sister. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Body, soul, spirit. We're here. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to see him personifying himself right among us and see what he promised for the world for the word, not what somebody's emotion, singing, jumping, and dancing. Do you see a lot of that today? They're trying to manufacture the Holy Ghost in their midst. And like I told you a Sunday or two ago, last Sunday or the Sunday before, I can't remember. I'm 42. I'm allowed to forget. Amen. His emotions singing and jumping and dancing. Amen. They're trying to manufacture the Holy Ghost. As I said, there'll be a dry spell. There's a dry spell. There's a famine in the land. There was in Brother Branham's time when he was here too. He didn't hear from God for months, maybe even a year. I don't even know what the timeline was. Can you imagine the ramp up in his ministry where it was constantly praying for the sick, seeing visions, doing this, doing that, and then all of a sudden it just dries up? In your mind, like Job, you're sitting on an ash heap in a way. Where did God go? Where is he at? Like, you get on a high and you want to be there all the time. It's okay when it goes a little bit dry. But just remember, he's still here. And whatever is in here will manifest and make part. It'll either reflect this or to reflect the world. Or some creed or some denomination. But by his word, amen. He is making himself known by his word. Look, when they built the temple and brought the ark into it, God went in there with a pillar of fire, amen? It was David who was jumping around and screaming. It was all the singers and the priests carrying on. when they was out of the will of God.
Yep.
But when God identified the ark in his place and his position, does this sound familiar? They built this massive church that sits empty today. They were jumping and screaming, trying to bring the ark into that building instead of it being in the building of the people. It was all the singers and the priests carrying on, the leaders, when they was out of the will of God. But when God identified the ark in his place and position before they could get the ark in there, here come the pillar of fire leading the way. They got ahead of God. Right down over the cherubim's wings and right in behind the holiest of holies. His resting place, the pillar of fire, and the glory of God was in there till they couldn't even see how to minister that milky white substance. Amen. It'll close the eyes of every theologian when he comes for his bride. They'll be out dancing, trying to drum up, looking for the oil, looking for the Holy Ghost, and they can't find it. It's dry. They just can't get there. So they try to manufacture something. She'll be taken up in the middle of the night, as it was them. They won't even see her go. Oh, praise be to God. Notice, God promised that he would bring his bride out. What he would do. There would be a seed. There would be a light in the evening time. How he would do all these things, just exactly, and by the way, that he originally planned it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and it wasn't through denomination. It wasn't through their system we're using today. We're just causing death. Let people put their hands with it, and then they die from it. Amen? Because it was out of the will of God. The man went and tried to stabilize the ark, trying to make sure he didn't want the Ten Commandments, the ark, to fall and be bashed. It was good intentions. But he touched it out of the will of God, and God killed him. Let people put their hands with it. So what is he saying? Let humans put their hands with it and try to manipulate instead of allowing yourself to be led with the Holy Ghost. The word, the evening message, must carry evening results. The evening message must sow an evening seed. Morning seed? No. Evening seed. Is that right? The midday seed. Its seed back there was denomination. It died. It perished. But evening time message will show evening time light, will show evening time results. The evening time message, Jesus time, midday message, showed midday results. Three things: Old Testament, Jesus time, and ours. The beginning message showed the beginning results, made creation. He made his son, his own image, in the midday time. And in the evening time, he makes a bride for it. Amen. See what by? His word. It can only be one thing. How did he form the earth? How did he speak it into existence? By his word. Who was his son? The word. So I go one further. Who is his people? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then you use the scripture, I will not leave you comfortless when I leave this midday. I will send myself back to you. And how will he take his bride? By the Word. Not by a new cart. There's nothing new under the sun, as they say, right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not by some theologian's idea, but according to his word. He'll identify her. We will be known. Don't put one thing to it or take one thing from it now.
Amen.
Leave it the way it is. See? And that's trying to do God a service without it being his will. Now, is this Holy Spirit that we're talking about, is that Jesus Christ? Sure, it is. See, he is God, known as God, the Holy Ghost. It ain't another God, brother, sister. It's the same God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not three gods. It's three attributes of the same God. Guess what? We are one of those attributes. See, just the same God in three forms. You see? And otherwise, three offices. Like, you know, when he served as Father and then as Son. It's God condescending, coming from one who cannot be touched. Even to touch the mountain had to die. Till we could handle him in flesh. God had to give us such a small portion of himself, otherwise we'd die. But I'm glad to have that little portion. And now he's in you.
Yes.
He sanctified you with his blood, and he might live in you. That word in. That day you'll know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. See, it's God above us, God with us, and now it's God in us. And that's Christ tonight, the Holy Spirit. He is the same, and he is the vine, and you are the branches. Have faith in him. And if he will identify himself tonight being among us, now if he stood here with the scars, that would be a human being. That's flesh. He can't appear to us in human flesh like he did when he was here in his Son. Amen. And if he does, you might think, probably has a shiny crown on like what he was trying to do to Wesley, right? That's flesh. Anybody can impersonate that. A human being can disfigure himself. So I go poke holes in my hands and poke holes in my foreheads as if I wore a crown. Or maybe we don't know that what Jesus looked like. We just got the artist idea of him. The physiology of it, what he looked like. The Hoffman had one, Solomon had another, Salman, and had many more. But how would you know him? How do you? So that was a legitimate question from Judas, not Iscariot. How will we know you? How will we know what you're sending back to us? It would be his life. So I say, I have the life of Christ. Yet you still sit on a bar stool. I have the life of Christ, yet you backstab.
Yeah.
I have the life of Christ, yet you pull deals. No, I don't think I believe your testimony. Greater than Solomon is here in 64. And every man and woman that has an experience with God has met the same pillar of fire upon the sacred grounds of your heart. There is no theologian, there is no devil, no nothing. Paul said nothing present, nothing future, death, sickness, or sorrow can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It's a tie post. You know something happened. No matter how much science raises up and says this or that or the other, you were tied. You and God have become one. There's nobody can come and tell you, you don't know God. You know that's a lie. He's in you. Amen? He is in you and you are in him. Just like the scripture says, at that day, you'll know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. You are tied to him. We are one, just like you said verbally today. We are one. Amen. I pray that brings a comfort to you. I pray God hears our prayer. I pray God brings us out of these trials and afflictions that we are in. But just remember, do everything that he said. You can't say that I've been baptized, but never gotten into the water. Remember that. Do his work. Do his will. Do his word. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that we know that you are here with us, Father, for you are in our hearts, Father. Once again, help us, Father, to display you to the world that's around us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophet that was sent in our time. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who is here leading us to be able to see, to understand your word, to know, to rightly place, to position ourselves, Father, in you. Thank you, Father, for these things. Lord, we are truly thankful to be your sons and daughters. For those that don't know you, Father, I pray, Lord, that they do know you. They would come to know you instead of the creed or the denomination that they're in. Open their eyes so that they may see. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.